Bob,
I noticed that we've got more people than I was expecting.
We should book an auditorium.
An auditorium, that's it. We'll go to Wymas Civic Center.
Yeah.
Well, you better get him a microphone.
I have just turned on the microphone. The microphone is live.
And chat.
And chat will be on in just a second.
It's my job.
Your personal assistant.
I'm really glad that I didn't bring too many topics because I'll have a chance to eat my breakfast.
Yeah, your breakfast hasn't come yet.
Well, I have two.
You brought topics?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, a topic and a problem, or two problems, no topics, whatever you want to look at it.
Well, I've brought a couple of follow-up things, but that's about it.
This is your dad.
That's right.
And what's his name?
Terry. Terry Stimson. Terry Stimson.
Terry on the media. Cafe Morton.
So... we'll get that up, and we'll get this up.
She looks at her tip here, and I wonder if she's going to give us more coffee.
But she's already got the tip from us, so maybe I don't get any more.
That's right. Once you give him a tip,
you don't see him anymore. Not Esmeralda.
But I found out by tipping the gal in Omar generously to come in next week.
As well as.
Oh, yeah, they know. They remember.
A couple of years here.
Yeah. I didn't think there was a bad table at Omar.
First stage. Even though all my background is in computers.
Then you sit in the hot sun.
Kindergarten.
It is really loaded.
Computers to the school.
We've gone twice to La Playa. They have a breakfast brunch there with Lorena Robles sings.
That's right.
So you had Fiesta?
Yeah, Fiesta.
I also had some lessons from a friend of mine that got me involved in San Carlos. And
120, I think, 120.
But that didn't really help me by the time I got here.
Yeah, and I think it's a bigger looking coffee. For what?
15 pesos.
Oh, well, you get orange juice and coffee included for that one. Yeah, and you sit out on the deck there. It's beautiful out there.
Yeah.
If you got a nice day.
Well, the last two times I've eaten at the Fiesta, I got sick.
Oh, really?
And I was talking to one of my neighbor's wives last year. She and eight of her seven friends went there. All eight of them got sick. She called the owner, and he said it was just a fluke. He wouldn't take it.
We're getting ready to start.
Well, I won't go
almost.
It's different people.
Yeah.
Different.
My breakfast coming.
I think it's a guy from Elmar.
Somebody else.
Angel and Hale. He's running it now.
That's right.
But then it'd be different.
The cook is from
the Greek philosophy. Yeah, that's. Caesar, the big guy.
Yeah, I thought the food was good. It was generous. It was a nice view looking out to the ocean.
That's a very nice view.
Yeah.
This is a full table.
You get your food yet? No, sorry.
Not yet.
I just
ordered it.
I'll stand up. Oh, yeah, man, I'll eat it for you.
Well, you got that.
It's nice of you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'll take care of it. And there's more coming.
Well, that's what happens, you know, your fame spreads.
Yeah.
One hand's red sauce,
and then
green sauce.
I also remember you can have 100 attaboys or 1,000. One off ship where it wipes it off.
I'm going to, yeah. I'm going to eat over my equipment, I think.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
What's that? That's dangerous. Yeah, you're right. What is that?
That's one of his problems.
That's one of your topics?
Yeah.
All right.
We're into marine engines now. We're expanding.
We're going to need more time.
I think
Excellent.
God,
good.
God forbid we actually have a
it's agenda. Like you guys knew I was going to try and eat breakfast while doing
yes.
this.
Yes.
Well, I guess we'll come to some semblance of order. If
hey, order.
You've still got 2 minutes to be out of order.
It'll take you for you that long.
I do like to draw us to some sort of some semblance of order at the beginning here and announce that we're the San Carlos Computer Club and we meet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15. And my name is Scott Stimson, and I own one of the computer shops here in town, San Carlos, or International Computer Solutions. And forgot the name of my business for a moment.
Yeah.
How much I love this club, I think this is my business. We've been doing this for years. I think I've got almost 10 years of recordings of this.
Wow.
And we record it for posterity, and so it's available for people that can't be here. But we also broadcast it live if you can't be here and you're interested in listening on a Tuesday. You can go to sccclub.org, and you can listen to this conversation. And one of my listeners is here today, my buddy Sid. He was the one that was on chat the other day when he was shooting me questions.
And your father?
My father is also here, over here in the corner, Terry Stimson. And they're back in San Carlos for a week or two or three weeks. So we're getting started, and today is an unusual day because I have ordered breakfast. So I don't have a lot of topics, which is good because I'm going to be eating food, but I will help answer some questions. I wanted to do a little follow-up from last week. I've got more information on Claro Video. I was talking with them in Telmex about the Claro Video stuff, and it is free. If it is free for 12 months if you have any of their packages. If you're paying the $389 or the $599 or the $999 packages, then you are entitled to use Claro Video as your video streaming provider for 12 months.
And then you can take it back.
I found out how to invoke the movies. You click on a little square that says Better.
Ver. Oh, of course. V-E-R. To watch.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I figured it out because it had two squares. One said Ver trailer, and the other says Ver.
So in case you aren't figuring it out, it's obviously in Spanish.
So how do you get it connected to your television?
Well, last week I mentioned that I was working on an Apple TV that I set up for the first time in Mexico, and it was there as one of the channels.
Oh, my.
And the other thing I was going to mention is while I was in Telmex, I saw the Claro Video device, which doesn't look much different than a Roku or an Apple TV, but it's a white box. But it's about the same size, white box, white remote. And they'll, I think, rent it to you for 20 pesos a month, which is like $1.25, something like that.
What's
so
the content on there?
Not quite.
Yeah.
But if you have a smart TV, can you just...
A $1.25 American, my Canadian friend.
Associate the TV
American money.
Associate the TV with your router, and then it would get.
In a smart TV,
yeah.
if it was supporting the channel as an app, which I imagine we will see. Maybe not some off-brand, but I would imagine a Samsung purchased in Mexico would have a Claro Video channel available.
So you have to have the device for it to work.
No. Paul is telling us you can use the website.
Yeah, I just use the website.
And the website is...
Claro Video website.
Claro Video.
Claro Video.
And when you go first to Claro Video, it asks if, who's your provider. And when you say... Infinitium, whatever.
Well, and actually, doesn't it prompt you? Because when I went there, it self-identified me as an Infinitium customer and listed the phone number of my contract.
Yeah. And then, but then when you, if you put Claro Video in a browser, one of the ones that comes up says Telmex.
Oh.
You know.
Telmex Infinitium.
And then you just keep logging in through that. Yeah.
So if you, what you're saying is if you do a Google search on Claro Video, you're going to see a link that appears that's associated with Telmex Infinitium. Interesting.
So you can't get Netflix with that. You can only get Claro Video.
Netflix would be a competitor to it.
Same as, okay.
Yeah, they are completely different organizations competing for the same eyeballs. And the way Claro Video is doing it in Mexico is they've got a deal with Telmex to offer it as a free service. It does say in the fine print it's for 12 months. I talked to the girl there at Telmex, and what happens after 12 months? And she said, well, I can't tell you what's going to happen 12 months from now, which is a typical Telmex answer for any question.
Okay.
Right? But what she did tell me is the ones that are expiring now, they're just rolling over and making them free for another year. So it's a good chance that it may be part of the Telmex package indefinitely. So if you're paying your package, you're getting this service.
So if you go to the Telmex place here, what do you ask for?
I don't think you have to ask for it. Paul's experience and my own was that you show up at the website and it self-identifies you as... I mean, you'd need to be on your Telmex line. If that makes... You wouldn't do it from here.
Don't you need the adapter?
No.
It's just a website on your computer. And then you look at it.
Or you can stream it,
right? Stream it, yeah.
What do you want to get it?
Claro Video.
Yeah, Google Claro Video. Yes, Mike. I would imagine you'd have to turn off your VPN for it to identify you correctly. Yeah. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be recognized as a Telmex customer, your phone number wouldn't be known, and they wouldn't know that they're supposed to be giving it to you for free. They would have a whole package that you could buy, similar to Netflix. This is really, if you wanted an analogy, this would be like, I'm going to go with AT&T for my internet. Oh, and they're offering Netflix for free. That would be an equivalent kind of analogy. Yeah. Oh, it's DirecTV. Yeah.
Bundling DirecTV.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Because they brought out.
So the movies were in English with Spanish subtitles that I watched.
Hola. On Claro Video, that's Paul's experience, and the girl told me that there is a lot of English available through Claro Video, but same as with our Netflix experience, I can only imagine 100% Spanish with an English option. The fortunate thing is there's a lot of movies that have the English option.
Well, but when you look at the library, it has the... Spanish names, substitute names for the movie, but if you hold the cursor over the picture, the icon, it'll come up with the original name in English.
Well,
and the year that it was issued.
I wonder if there isn't some cookies you can set to get it all presented to you in English. Because I feel like when I went to the website, now your experience is making me feel like I need to go back and look at it again, but I feel like I looked at it in English.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Sometimes I look at Spanish and forget that I'm looking at Spanish, but I'm not that good. But anyway, Claro Video, if you haven't checked it out, if you're a Telmex customer, you might as well. It's free for 12 months. It's free for 30 days if you have a business account. Nobody at this table, I think, has a business account, so that's a moot point.
So, Scott, you have to unplug your Netflix, right?
No.
No.
No, in fact, it has no... There's no issue with Netflix at all. What you may need to do, though, is you may need to try it without your VPN. I haven't tried it myself with a VPN, but I can only imagine your experience would be one where it doesn't identify you as a Telmex customer. And if it doesn't identify you as a Telmex customer, then it's going to be trying to sell you service. Whereas if you're on Infinitum without your VPN, and again, I'm just speculating, but I imagine this is what would happen. Without the VPN, it'll see you have Infinitum as your service provider. It'll even list your phone number right there in the sign-up proceedings so that you're self-identified as an Infinitum customer.
Maybe if you have the VPN, it'll say... This is not available. You're out of country.
Right. But I do believe that Claro Video is an international thing. I don't believe it's only Mexico. Now, it might be only Latin America, but I don't think it's only Mexico.
When I go home, I'll use the VPN to identify myself
as being in Mexico. Yeah. You know, things are going to get weird like that soon enough. We're going to... you're going to find services pretty soon that are marketed and as enticing and cheaper because they're marketed to this market where they don't have as much disposable income. And they're I can imagine a future where Mexicans are paying a third less for Netflix because that's the way they stop pirating movies. Is Netflix is just within their grasp. It's available.
Well, I think Claro Video is all of Latin America, so they have a lot of, they can have a lot of customers.
Yeah. No, and Claro Video is, if they're giving it away for free with infinitum customers, you can imagine that's more appealing than paying monthly for Netflix. So they've got a strong foothold in this market.
Okay, so you say... It's not just a channel that you can select. It's a completely different service.
Well, think of it like Netflix. I mean, it is Netflix, but it's in the Latin American market.
Do you have to have the little white box in order to make it work?
No. But if you don't have if you want it on your TV and you don't have a smart TV with a Claro Video channel and you don't want to buy an Apple TV, gracias. I've been handed my food, so for the rest of this meeting, I will sound like nom 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 nom.
If you had a cable from your computer to your TV, then you could do it that way.
Well, and we've talked about it a little bit. Intel has put out their second version of this stick TV, and it's getting great reviews. It wouldn't be surprising to put Windows 10 on that stick, plug it into an HDMI port on the back of your TV, and you could do Claro Video the same way you could do Netflix, the same way you could do Hulu.
You get a wireless keyboard.
Where do you buy these?
I don't think it's been released yet. It was just showed off at CES, and I'm thinking it was April that it was going to be out. But it's like $150. Do you have some information on it?
I just bought what they call EasyCast. You find them on eBay for $12 to
$13. Oh, yeah, okay.
And it'll mirror cast from your computer to your TV and plug the device in the back of the TV. And whatever on your computer will go onto your screen.
And that's so wireless?
This is called...
Is it wireless?
It's wireless.
Yes. Okay, how far would it go through concrete? And
I don't know that. I'm waiting for mine to get here.
Okay, that'll be interesting to find that out.
What's it called? The Easy Stick?
EasyCast. You'll find it on eBay under Miracast.
EasyCast is a competitor to Chromecast. Yeah. It's almost got the same form factor as well, and they use the same color scheme as the Chromecast, as the Chrome.
Another application. It sounds like there's a lot of Roku boxes down here. Roku has a beta test going on right now for screen mirroring. You go into your system and your settings and system, you'll see a list that it'll just say, you know, screen mirroring beta, and go in there and click on, and then you can mirror cast from your computer once again with the 8.1 Windows. You can't do it with 10 for some reason. I don't know why. If you have 8.1 Windows, you can mirror cast your computer to your TV through your Roku.
Maybe that's why I can't do an image of my computer with Windows 10.
No. Nothing to do with it.
That still requires you have to plug something
into
the TV.
Chester, I think your issue still has to do with backups, and there's some other piece of it that's still not working.
The other stick you talked about, what was it called? The one that's not out yet?
Oh, it's an Intel computer. What are they calling it? I don't remember what they're calling it. Yeah, the idea is to have a Windows computer plugged into your HDMI port that's the size of like a USB stick. But this EasyCast is a very cool thing. I ran across it on Amazon.com.mx. You can order it right from Amazon, have it delivered here, the EasyCast.
Scott?
Yes, Mike?
I heard a term yesterday called, I think it's dongle.
Okay. Dongle.
Dongle?
Yeah.
Hold it in the back of your TV to make a smart TV?
Mm-hmm.
And
That's what we're talking about. Is it the Chromecast, the EasyCast, the Roku stick?
It's a separate piece than...
Well, they're all referred to as a dongle.
Oh, these are all dongles. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
D-O-G-P-L-A.
That's not true. So a lot of these, though they use an HDMI port, they also need power. So like the Fire TV stick or the Chromecast, or I imagine the EasyCast is the same way.
Yeah, you got to plug into a little wall charger.
And I would imagine it has a USB adapter, because most of them...
This has an HDMI plug-in on the stick.
Mm-hmm.
It has a separate cable that goes to a little mini charger that you plug into the wall, or you plug your USB into your TV if you have one.
There you go. So all of these have been built to the USB standard voltage, the idea being that you can either plug it into an additional USB port that you might have, or you can plug it into a charger and plug that into just a regular ground current. But it's two things that need to be plugged in behind your TV. These dongles, though, they're smaller than my hand, so it's easy for them to hide behind screens. You don't have a bunch of cables going out to a desk where equipment is sitting, or a stereo rack. You don't have a umbilical moving to it. These plug right into that HDMI port off the back.
Mine does have a cord for an external antenna that comes with it.
Oh, okay.
So you can wrap it around the front of the TV so you get better reception.
Better Wi-Fi reception, I would imagine.
They say, I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, I haven't got it yet. I just found it on eBay the other day.
Well, I think that those kinds of devices are what's determining the features on some of these TVs we've got. I finally bit the bullet and I bought a new flat screen for our house. And one of the options that it had that I liked was it had four HDMI ports on it, mm-hmm. but then it had three USB ports on it. Mm. And so you could power three of these style devices without having to add any extra wires. It would all happen behind your TV set.
Nice. So how much of this is available here in Mexico without going out?
That's the difference between an expensive flat screen and a not so expensive.
Well,
the cheap ones have one port.
Right. Yeah, no, that's what I found. I was looking at a 65-inch Vizio versus a 60-inch Samsung. And the Vizio, even though it had five extra inches, had four HDMI ports and one USB port. Which, I mean, I'm a computer person, so I could stick a hub back there and offer as many USB ports as I want. But every time I add one more thing like that, I'm adding one more cable I got to deal with in that umbilical that connects my life. And so I really liked, I liked the price and I liked those options. The USB ports on some of these sophisticated smart TVs and the Samsung software I'm familiar with, you can plug a cordless keyboard right into that USB port, or you can plug a cordless mouse right into the USB port to take advantage of that smart interface. So I figured the more USB ports, better options. Also, the one I was looking at had a quad-core processor in it, like when you're looking at computers, right? Whereas a lot of these large screens that are getting sold at a discount right now still only have the dual-core processors. This one I found was a quad-core processor. And so I'm still waiting for it to arrive. I bought it on Amazon.com.mx. It should show up in the next week or so. And I'll let you guys know how it goes. But the price was great. I think I paid $950 for it.
For 60 inch.
Samsung, yeah. No 3D and no 4K. But still winning awards in sound and picture quality.
You said 4K wasn't good right now anyway.
High
definition. I'm sorry, what was that, Chester?
You got to put in high definition.
Yeah, it is HD. It's just not 4K. And to reiterate what Maggie was reiterating of my opinion on 4K right now is we don't have enough content for it to be part of your decision making. If you need a TV now, which is kind of how we're feeling, you shouldn't use 4K as a decision maker. It's not one of the features that should be making the decision for you. The 4K screens that are out there right now, especially the economic screens, aren't necessarily the best screens in the world. They're just stuck that in there as well. And you get a much better picture quality at around the same price if you're not worried about things like 4K.
What's the brand name that you just bought?
Samsung.
You got it from
Amazon.com.mx. And that's the other thing that I liked about this too is it was from the Amazon warehouse sold by Amazon. Whereas you
in Mexico.
The other TV I was looking at was sold by a third party.
Is there anything about it that's Spanish that would have to be translated?
Well, I imagine it's going to show up with its default language, Spanish. But if my experience with that kind of stuff is, at the very worst, it's going to turn on and go through an interview, and some of the first interview questions will be like, what language should this be in?
Yeah, that's
normal. I got a microwave that doesn't have that option.
It's not. I checked that out. I didn't. Knowing that I was ordering it in Mexico, that was one of the features I made sure I checked out beforehand.
Just have to. I didn't know that. You have to recognize that idioma means language.
That's right. It's not a personal attack.
Scott, this really tells you then that my 25-year-old television that's 24 inches deep, you really have to start thinking about throwaway televisions.
Anchor.
Throwaway
computers. Yeah.
Throwaway computers. You said computers 3 years old. You really need to start with that.
Well, that's definitely the way the market has gone.
Yeah. Throwaway cars.
But it'll be interesting to see if that jumps it over to just disposable transport with this whole model of self-driving cars. We're gonna see cities start modeling their transportation around services that you would pay a monthly fee to. Maybe it'd even be taxes.
So you won't be able to drive into by yourself into San Francisco.
Yeah, something like that. Yep. Right. There'll be areas that will be purely self-driving.
Well, you know, people don't realize that there's been 7 times in our history that the GPS system has failed. And other times is the GPS signal can have problems around areas where they have TV antennas. So I think it's a long time before I buy one of those.
You know, I read where the GPS system that we use, the one that's been used for years now, has less wattage than a 50-watt bulb that showers down on us from a satellite. And I think that your concern is valid, but these cars have the equivalent of what we considered a supercomputer 10 years ago. They've got mapping data. They've got sensors all over. Their ability to stay on the road without GPS, I think, has been fortified.
Oh, that's great.
Because of those kinds of concerns.
I just think the idea of leaving from California in my truck... taking a nap going down Highway 5 is really appealing to me. Although about 10 years ago when it came out with the, you push the button and you're on cruise control, some guy going down Highway 5 did that, and he thought it was going to steer. So he pushed it for cruise control, went out the back in his galley to make some coffee, and had a problem.
Oh, that was a Texas Aggie that.
Oh, no.
I got one more thing. If you're a Roku user, there's also what they call, I don't know if you guys ever discussed IPTV, but there's a deal I buy for $20 a month. It's got 300 channels. It's stolen off DirecTV, I think, but you don't have to have a VPN or a.
Is this the Mach TV?
Mach TV, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we've talked about that quite a bit. And Linda is our IPTV expert girl. She's the one that's always bringing us up to date on the equipment that's available and trying to bring that cost down to almost
$20 right now.
Yeah, that's
not a bad
deal. That's a good price.
Did she ever hip surgery?
She's in Puerto Vallarta.
Oh,
yeah, she's down south right now.
It was warm yesterday.
For the winter.
So, yeah, for a month.
Warm south.
But
they go
what?
Every year.
So the raccoon, where can you buy the raccoon in Mexico?
That's very interesting. Up until recently, all I've ever seen from Roku is that they do not support Mexico.
That one in the States that was delivered to the American store down here in less than 10 days.
Mm-hmm. And they are for sale on Amazon.com.mx to be delivered to your door here.
But don't they have to be set up in the States?
Well, it depends on what you're trying to do. There's a number of channels available through Roku that are international, and they're internationally licensed. But Roku is interesting because Roku is licensed for a geographical location, and then their content providers are licensed for a geographical location. So you could have a Roku that is allowed to use Netflix. I mean, for example, this is a bad example because this has gone away. This is no longer a problem. But you could have a Roku that's allowed to run Netflix but won't work correctly outside the United States and have little to do with the Netflix account, more to do with Netflix on Roku. Now, I haven't had bad experience. I have not had bad experiences with Roku and Netflix in this country here or the United States, but I have run into that problem on smart TVs where Netflix has content agreements for for movies that are available only in the United States for your smart TV. And you bring your smart TV down here, it gets a software update, all of a sudden Netflix is no longer available. Because even though Netflix would let you watch Latin American movies on your smart TV, they never licensed to be used on this smart TV in this country. So the same model smart TV with Mexican firmware didn't have Netflix in it.
You know, your timing is terrible. You didn't have that TV for the Bronco game.
is that a hockey game?
Yeah. What? Yeah. It's a Denver hockey team.
Who won?
Seattle.
Seattle?
You've been in Alaska way too long.
They play hockey.
Gordon, you had a question. You were just trying to hook your Apple up to an HDMI.
Not an Apple. Just a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I was asking about the Roku.
You have a Macintosh laptop you're trying to? And you're just trying to get it connected to your TV
set?
Yeah,
but I don't have. It's an old case, new hard drive, but it's got the 10 pin to the HDMI in the back of the TV, which I can't get the cable right.
Okay.
There's no adapter or whatever that I'm aware of.
Well,
there's something in the
There's an HDMI to DVI cable adapter. You might have to order one. They may not be available here locally. Recently I went looking for one and found that I was going to have to order one. Probably could find it in Hermosillo. It's just not that unusual. It's just unusual enough that I went to JG's computers and I checked Walmart and I checked the electronics stores and nobody's got them, but everybody can order them. And so JG said they could get it to me in a couple of days. They just have to order it. But the issue with that, if that's what you're dealing with, is like a DVI connector. Is it a white or a blue connector on the computer? Is it?
It's a 10-pin. The 10-pin.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like a VGA cable. So if it's VGA, that's actually an analog connector. And so you need a slightly more complicated device to get it to an HDMI connector, which I'm imagining is on your TV set. So probably what you would find a better use of your money would be to get one of these Chromecasts or an EasyCast and stick that on your computer. I haven't worked with the EasyCast, though I've read about it. The Chromecast, well, I've worked with Maggie's Chromecast, which I think is a very easy-to-use device. You plug it into the back of your TV set, and then you look for it individually. It creates its own Wi-Fi pocket. You connect your device to it, and it talks you through getting it set up on your Wi-Fi network. Then there's one other piece, which is the Chromecast app, which either installs in Chrome on your computer or you put it in your smartphone or your tablet. And after that's ready to go, anything you're looking at in the Chrome web browser can appear, can be casted to your TV set. So if you've got Hulu on your, you can cast that to your TV set. Or if you've got your Hotmail, you can cast that to your TV set from your device. And then Chromecast supports natively some very specific applications like Netflix. So you bring up your Netflix app on your device, and it could. Well, actually, do you need to use a device with Netflix? Are you using Netflix?
No,
you use Roku. So it seems like the disadvantage with Chromecast is you don't have a remote control, so you always have a device you're going to.
Yeah, you have to control it from your computer.
From your computer or your smartphone or your tablet.
Yeah. Yeah. Our friend uses, I think, a Blu-ray DVD player to get on.
For Netflix? A lot of the Blu-rays are also smart devices. So they've got an app store, and they'll have Netflix, they'll have Hulu, Amazon Prime as part of their app selection.
Scott? In hindsight, last week there were several people that couldn't get Netflix because of VPNs.
Well, that's what we're assuming.
I have two friends that canceled their account. I never got around to canceling mine. And they canceled it, and immediately they got it again. And I have it back now, and I don't know why.
Well, if I had to speculate, I would say you've gotten caught up in that grouping of experimenting what they can block and what they can't block. And that's why my suggestion was try connecting to another part of the United States and see if you have the same experience with Netflix.
Well, you also suggested that Roku could be the problem.
Well, that was a way to determine whether you were having a... Bob's issue with Netflix, was it last week we were talking about it?
Yeah.
Was that you were having trouble, was it quality or just bringing it up? You couldn't even bring it up. Just couldn't bring it up. So the aside from Bob's issue, Netflix founders have come out saying that they are going to start actively blocking VPN usage. And I'll reiterate what I said last time. They have to do that because
they have to say that.
I'm sorry, Chester's correct. They have to say that because they're in licensing agreements all the time with content providers, and they can't make it appear as though they support this idea of you getting at U.S. Netflix if you're not in the United States, or England. Netflix if you're not in England, or Australian Netflix if you're not in Australia. They can't support that because it undermines their content licensing agreements.
But a lot of people cancel their accounts too.
Well, yeah, but and aside from your issue with your Roku, Netflix, we've got this other issue that's always looming over us now, that VPNs may stop working. The technology they would use is by keeping track of pools of VPN addresses that are commonly used to thwart geolocation.
Maggie, here's what it's for.
So, what we're actually kind of in a waiting period where we're seeing how well this ends up playing off, how hard they're going to work to try and block us. And my suggestion to Bob was that let's find out if this is a geofencing problem. If they're finding out you're using a VPN, so turn off your VPN, connect your Roku up to your Infinitum connection directly out of Mexico, and you should be able to bring up Latin American Netflix because it exists, and you can run it through the latest. Actually, I don't know what Roku you have. Is it
the first one?
Okay, so that probably won't work, actually. We probably should have discussed that last week. I have one of the first Rokus, and it will not let me use it for Latin America Netflix. The newer ones do. My father uses one on Latin American Netflix. He doesn't bother with a VPN, and it works just fine.
Yeah, I can get both.
And you can get both as well. And so my suggestion to Bob before was if it's an issue of getting it, then he could try going without the VPN, and we'll try and determine whether this is a VPN issue or if this is a Roku issue. Unfortunately, it sounds like if you'd followed my advice, you still wouldn't have had any luck because you're using an old enough Roku that it wouldn't support.
I have a Roku One.
Okay.
I have a Roku One. I set it up in the States. Works perfect down here.
Are you using it with Latin American?
No.
Okay, so you've got a VPN.
Yeah.
And
no,
that's,
I do not.
Oh, so you're using it with the Latin American offering then?
I guess so, but it looks like the same as I got at home.
That's ours too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No problem.
I was wondering, if you have an iPad and a Comcast thing plugged in, can you go from your iPad to Netflix, to your television? Has anybody tried that?
Yes. And that does work. If you've got, say you've got Hide My Ass VPN on your iPad, and you're running Netflix in the United States, and you've got a Chromecast on your TV, you can Chromecast it over to the TV set.
But you have to have a VPN, or you don't.
Or you've got the Latin American Netflix. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, that would work, too. If you don't have the VPN, then you're just, you have the Latin American catalog. But that also works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, next.
Next.
Okay, I have three real quick questions. This will be, yes, this is out of an outboard motor. I need somebody to has the equipment and the knowledge to desolder a board, you know, because this is...
You're trying to get those connectors off?
Well, just two of them that are shorted. So there's two wires that need to be desoldered and then resoldered. So I spent time in Weymouth yesterday, and it really needs somebody who really knows about circuit boards.
Yeah. Well, I could desolder them for you.
Okay.
Do you have a...
I'll give you the right wire.
Okay.
I have marine gray.
Yeah.
Okay. Other thing is, remember I talked about the D-Link?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I got it set up. I actually got the instructions in English, because that was 90% of the problems. Set it up the way they work in her neighbor's house.
Yeah.
It immediately shot all his... He couldn't do anything. You know, even using his password on it and everything. So he had to pull it out.
Okay.
Unless so... Maybe something's wrong.
I think there is something wrong.
Yeah.
From our discussion before, it sounds like nothing has changed except the Wi-Fi has diminished.
Mm-hmm.
Even for him. But he's in the house there, so it's not that big of a deal.
He had his router replaced. He went into Telmex.
Oh, he got a new one.
He got a new one. And it's...
Is this since we talked last?
No. Oh. This router is about 6 months old, from what he said.
Hmm.
So I told him what you said, and I left it. So I think my friend's going to have to do without. Go to X-Pro or something.
Yeah. Again, I think that power line would work if you plug it on the outside of the house.
Well, there is a plug for the outside.
Yeah.
But the trouble is, as soon as he plugged it in and we followed the instructions, then it messed up all his stuff in his house.
Well, without knowing what that means... The only thing I could theorize is there's something wrong with his electricity.
Well, that could be.
Yeah, which is very common around here. And
yeah.
One of the reasons I don't like power line adapters is because you never know what kind of result you're going to get.
Well,
it's strictly the way things are wired around here.
I tend to agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay, last question. I bought a brand new LG television because I like LG products. I bought a sound bar made by some outfit called YES that I'm hard of hearing. I'm ex-militaries and that. So I turned in the television first, and I turned it up and went up to 40 dB, and it's not. You know, it's nothing is, you know, I can hardly hear. So I bought the sound bar. It's no better, or maybe a little bit. So I'm totally lost.
Sony earphones.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to do what?
It's got
to
be the TV.
I may have to.
It's not you, right? It is the TV.
Oh, it is, because if in California, I never use earphones.
Okay.
It would drive me out of the house.
Can you take it back?
Can you plug the soundbar into something else just to verify that the soundbar doesn't have a problem?
When I go to AM radio...
It's fine.
It just... Yeah, it's just too loud. I have a friend of mine who's a lieutenant colonel, retired. He has the same thing I do because they're both military. He bought an LG.
Mm-hmm.
He has the same problems. And his LG's in Tucson.
Because you would think you'd be able to pull the audio out of the LG and plug it into the soundbar. And at that point, all the amplification you would need would be in the soundbar.
Well, I may have to have you come out.
Are you using a fiber optic connector?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. That's weird. That's really weird.
Okay. But if it wasn't for the fact... that when I can go to the AM radio on the soundbar,
right.
I mean, it is loud. But when it goes...
Is there a setup option on your TV to go to external speakers?
Yes. So what it is to turn the speakers on the TV off.
Yeah.
And that's what I do.
And what's coming through the soundbar, you can hear, but it's faint. It's just...
Well, it's it could be louder.
Maybe if you had both the set and the soundbar playing, you could hear it.
You can't use them both together.
I have a Roku 3, and they just put some channels on from the East Coast time zone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, coming out at you and just about knock you over.
Oh, yeah.
And other ones from the West Coast time zone, they're just barely hearable.
What is it you're trying to play?
Any Netflix. Or now, news like CNN works fine. Any news station, almost any station, but as soon as I go through the Roku or the soundbar.
Anything on the Roku is quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And the Roku is connected to your TV with an HDMI cable?
Yes.
See, that's a lot of digital. We shouldn't be suffering any analog problems because it digitally is sending that signal to the TV. The Roku is not responsible for amplification. It's not responsible for any static. It's because it's a digital connection to the TV set.
Even on off.
Yeah, the most it can do is on and off, right?
If you have to pull the plug to make that happen, it doesn't have an on-off switch.
Well, I'm wondering.
Oh. You know, Gary just triggered a thought. I've had HDMI problems that were only resolved by pulling the power on a device and plugging it back in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't tried that, try pulling the power on the Roku and letting it reboot while it's connected and just see if you get any kind of change from it. And then the sound issue, I'd like to narrow it to being the Roku. You say that you can get the radio through the soundbar without any problems. But what if you use any other function of the TV set?
Well, if I look at anything on a TV, like DirecTV, it's still not down as high as it should be.
It's not as high as it should be.
That's right.
So if you switch from the Roku, say, to, for example, HDMI 2, that's what your DirecTV would be connected to, you still have that faint sound?
Correct.
Okay.
Now, it might be fine for you.
Well,
But somebody who have a... minor hearing loss is a problem. My buddy was a paratrooper. He has to have earphones in his. And that shouldn't be.
I rely heavily on closed caption.
Yeah.
But even the fiber optic connector, if you're using that, that's a digital connection as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you shouldn't be suffering any analog issues with that. I mean, it should really be passing sound data to the soundbar, and then the soundbar should be responsible for the amplification.
Okay.
You know,
about the soundbar.
Hold on one second. One last thing. You said you're having problems with Netflix. Does the TV, maybe the TV is in a mode that's like Dolby surround mode?
Could very well be.
Maybe it's trying to produce that kind of... Maybe it's trying... And this is a very vague general answer because I don't know what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the TV is inadvertently trying to produce like 6-channel sound. And it's going to a sound bar that's only capable of producing two channels.
So I need to disable that Dolby?
Well, I think you want to compare the two to make sure that the soundbar supports what the TV's putting out.
Yeah, if you don't have a surround system, your TV should be just two channel rather than a surround system.
But it should default to that, right?
Well, I don't know if it defaults or not, depending on the TV. But
well, that's really where you're at. I can't tell you any definitives without seeing the equipment. But there is equipment out there that is really smart and recognizes what channel's coming out. Like the soundbar could be amazingly intelligent, and it could sense that there's a six-channel sound coming out of the TV, knowing that it only has two speakers to work with, and it switches internally in the soundbar to two-channel sound. It re-encodes it to two-channel sound. That's very possible.
But maybe not.
It would be very possible to have a sound bar that has no idea what six-channel sound is, and it's just taking what's being fed to it, and it's trying to put it out two speakers, and it's doing a lousy job of doing it. And
even with the TV, without hooking it up to sound bars or anything, or Ruco, it's still...
Could be the same problem.
It could very much be the same problem. Okay. It could be that the signal's coming into the TV thinking the TV can handle five to six speakers.
Look into the audio output settings on the TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
While you're having breakfast, shall I discuss my problem?
All right, Chester, go ahead.
That must be pretty cold.
I'm finished.
Burning the roof of my mouth, I'll tell you that.
Last week, you recall, I discussed the issues of the Shaggy Dog story about trying to install Windows 10. Well, we got Windows 10 working, except there is no way I can make an image of my computer. I did have Western Digital backup installed on the computer. I've taken that totally out of the computer, even eliminated any reference to Western Digital. Mm-hmm. And I still can't get an image backup. And I've got five external hard drives hooked up, and none of them will do an image backup.
What Chester is saying is very valid. If you're having problems doing the Windows backup, the Windows system image, what we discovered together was that if there's another backup system installed, it can cause the Windows backup to fail. They use components from the operating system. They use the same components, specifically volume shadow copying. And if one backup is occupying those services, the other backup doesn't have it available and will fail. And so one of the things we did was we turned off the Western Digital backup.
I know, I turned it off. I took it out.
Yeah. Well, and we did get immediately different results, because your first result was with an error code that led us that direction, and then the second result you got actually took a lot longer for it to fail. And then you told me you didn't get an error code from it.
I did. Yeah.
Oh, you've got a different...
After I talked to you, I didn't get the error code. It just went red, and it said it failed to back up.
Right. So that's why I think there's another piece that we're missing in your backup situation. There's something else that's not working correctly. I think we solved one problem, because it was very obvious the original problem would fail very quickly. And it would give us an error code, and the error code helped knowledge about half systems. So we were system and started a backup, ran until I had, and then later Chester saying, well, that failed too. And that's got me thinking there's another that we need to discover, and we might find it in an error log.
Does anyone else have that problem?
I had Sony do mine for me so I wouldn't go through what you're going through. And when I went to pick it up, she was doing the backup, and it kept failing, and she was reading stuff in Spanish. I have no idea what it was. To make a long story short, I came back the next morning, and she had accomplished it.
I'm going to say again, I didn't...
She did it, but it took her a long time to do it. She kept getting error codes, and she was reading something on her other computer while she was working on mine. And I went back the next morning, and she had managed to do it.
There are a whole slew of reasons that a backup would fail. And so that's what she's going through.
It had her stymied.
Is Windows 10 backing up to the cloud?
Not necessarily, but it can. I mean, that's...
Would that be part of the problem, right?
Maybe. I think you'd have to set that up first, though. And I know Chester doesn't have that set up. No, I'm more likely to believe that there's in Chester's case, there's probably something to do with disk partitions, partition letters. There's something. It just feels like that kind of a problem.
But interestingly, it worked perfectly on 8.1.
Right. Right. Well, no. Had you done a system image in 8.1? Oh, now that we say that,
yeah.
A system image.
Yeah. Well, I did a whole system that and one of my external hard drives on 8.1.
Hmm. But the system image backup.
I can't get my Seagate to work on 10.
Simplicity is the best way. Chester has everything in his house connected to his computer.
I wish I did, but I don't.
To be fair, he does have this really powerful iMac that's running Windows 10. So
and we don't know why. The question is why.
I have a question about printers.
Okay, but first I got to show off Mike's tablet stand. If anybody's looking, he's making these for people for 28 pesos.
There. Show how it looks.
He hasn't told us yet whether they come with eggs or not.
No, he said it came with broken eggshells.
Yeah. Plenty of room for desk utensils.
One other thing. I have four cords going into my electric cord, so it kind of twists the thing. You have to take like a 3-pound wood wedge and stick behind that cord.
Yeah?
That works.
How about little bags of sugar? Yeah, you just put them down on each corner.
Painting grip.
A question about backing up before you go to 10.
They're around on the side of the road.
Do I just back up those things that I put in, documents, pictures, and sound, and music? Or do I have to have an image, system image backup?
Well, I think you should have all of it. I think that what you should maintain is three separate kinds of backups. One is a disaster recovery backup. One is a system restore backup, and the other is a data recovery backup. Mm-hmm. And in Windows 8, I can guarantee you can do all three. Mm-hmm. And in Windows 7, it's up to the manufacturer. So there is what you want to look for a recovery system backup would be something provided. Thank you, Bill. Something provided by the manufacturer. So, and in 8, the manufacturer can use Microsoft System to create that image. And that would be the kind of backup that if, say, your hard drive died and you need to replace the hard drive, you could bring the computer back exactly the way it was when you took it out of the box. And then, so when that backup would be finished, you'd be doing Windows updates and putting data back in it and reloading your applications. But everyone that owns a manufactured device should have the manufacturer's restore system. And that can be DVDs or a USB that was created to do that. So that's one backup. The other is the system image backup. And that's the disaster recovery. That backup will bring your computer back to the state it was in moments before you made the backup.
Yeah.
So if you had made the backup yesterday and the computer died today, you could bring that computer back to yesterday. And then the third is the data, and that's part of the disaster recovery, and that's that incremental backup that you should periodically run just to make sure all your pictures and documents and the things you create on your computer, you've got that stuff back. Under Windows 8, all three of those can be accomplished with Windows 8 tools. I would recommend using a manufacturer's tool if it was provided.
Well, I tried to back up my images one time, and it said, back up all images. Oh, that's fine. But it was backing up every image for a couple games I had, you know.
Well,
and I said, stop, I don't want all that.
And let's make a distinction between when I use terminology image, it's really important to understand whether we're talking about photos or if we're talking about disk images, because they're different things. We use the word image for backups because it's like taking a picture of but it's completely different stuff.
If you use the word mirror.
Well, what I did then was I did an uncompressed folder backup.
Okay, like a manual backup where you drug stuff over?
You know, everybody says, oh, you back up. I can remember 20 years ago when you'd back up. But when somebody had to bring something, restore something, nobody knew how to do that because it was all encrypted and things like that. I like to be able to go to my backup and see the image, you know, treat it just like a folder in my computer.
Right, like you could go to the backup and pull it out and move it back over your computer. I would still recommend using Microsoft's backup system for that. Because what the system does is it allows you to compress it, allows you to incrementally update it, but then you can traverse it like it's a folder system. So you can go in with Explorer and you can look at the backup and you can see the pictures that are in there, in the structure that... But then you can take advantage of the compression so that it doesn't take up as much space, and you can take advantage of the incremental changes so you don't have to always be backing up the... Like, you don't end up with duplications.
Right.
Oh, and another...
Unless I change the name of a photo.
Well, even that would be reflected in the backup. I was going to say that you also have the advantage, specifically with Windows 7 and higher, of reverting back to individual versions of some files. Say, for example, you use Photoshop and you're working on this master file and every couple of days it changes. Well, if you're using Windows backup regularly, then those changes are reflected as different versions.
Oh, that's good.
And you can click with the right mouse button on that file and you can see a list of previous versions that you can revert that back to if you want to. The previous versions are stored in Windows Backup. So I think there's a lot of good reasons to use the Windows Backup system.
Can I talk about my device?
Yes, go ahead. Talk about your device.
Okay, I have a device that's in my car that's called Automatic Link.
Auto Link.
Auto Link.
Yeah, automatic.
Automatic Link.
Yeah.
And what it does is it talks to my cell phone and gives me this screen, and I'll pass this around. Of course, since it's a cell phone, if you touch any button or touch the screen, it'll change the image entirely to Candy Crush or something like that. But at the top, no.
But the software is available for
iPhone. So this reflects what's going on when I drive my car. So this says Honda Pilot. I can alternate to my Nissan truck. There's a picture of the engine there with two red in red, meaning I've got two warning lights on my engine. If I click on that, it'll tell me what they are, and it'll tell me there's a spot to touch that'll tell me where the nearest mechanic is that I can get it fixed.
Wow.
And that includes 3 in Guaymas.
Oh, that's
quite
cool.
That's quite an app.
So we've talked about this before, and I've been wanting to do this to my vehicles. If you have a vehicle, I think it's 97 is the cutoff. I might be wrong. I'm not a mechanic, but there's this data port that's included in vehicles from the mid-90s up. And what Paul is describing is a device that sells for about $100 that you plug into this data port, and it's Wi-Fi, and it collects data on your car. Basically, it turns your car into a smart car.
Yeah.
You can keep track of things like mileage, gas mileage.
It tells me miles per gallon. It cost me 72 cents to drive here. I drove 4.3 miles. It took 18 minutes. And here's a map. If I go like this...
Like, Paul, what you should do next is you should buy one of these $50 tablets and mount it right on your dash and dedicate it to this application.
But hope you don't get somebody gets into it and shuts your car off. That's the issue.
Oh, could be, yeah.
Well, this is a passive device. I don't think you can... Can you shut off a car through a data port, Sid? Do you know? I don't think you can shut off a car through a data port.
There's news about hackers getting into cars and shutting them off.
But these are different systems that you're talking about. And this is using that data port that mechanics plug a computer into to read what the engine light means. So they've come up with some sophisticated software, because that's rudimentary data. But they're tracking it in real time, and so they overlay it with maps and GPS coordinates.
Here's a map of my path today.
How does one find that port?
It's in underneath.
It's in under the dash. It's
looked like a fuse box.
Yeah.
You know how you would find it? You take your car to AutoZone and go, hey, can you show me where the data port is?
But anyway, I got one for each of my two vehicles, and I got them at Best Buy in the States.
So what'd you pay? Like $95?
The first one was $100, and then the second one was $70 on a promotional.
This is a dongle.
And yeah, it's a dongle.
It's a dongle that fits right into there. Wow. So.
And Paul, it's Automatic is the company.
Automatic.
And the product, so I think it's called AutoLink.
Yes.
I think.
Well, if you put Automatic Link in a search engine, it'll bring up the company. And so then it also tells you if you're accelerating too fast, it gives you a little beep beep from the device, and also if you stop too fast, because what it's trying to do is to make you an economic driver, conserving gasoline. But if you sign up for it, if you have such rapid deceleration that you've hit something, it will notify three phone numbers that you hit something.
Oh, wow. So
insurance companies are doing that.
As a parent.
But I mean, like that. What's that, Starlink or something like that?
Yeah.
That costs a bunch of money each month, and I don't know what this costs if you take advantage of that.
Every parent with a teenager.
No, that would be great.
Oh, plus
so
then
there's a dashboard with an odometer and a speedometer and all of those things.
Oh yeah, but when my daughter's of driving age and all of a sudden her car decelerates to a stop, it'd be kind of nice to get a text message going, she just hit something.
Yeah. Yeah. Little icon with steam coming out of the car.
That's right. Bloop, 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 bloop.
If you get a new printer, do you have to cook it up to a computer?
It depends on the model. Okay, it's all over the board. Depends on what model it is. There are some models you can't get on a network unless you've hooked it up to a computer to start with. Other models you can just sit in the corner and start doing the setup right there.
Okay.
Yeah, it just depends on what model it is.
This is the same thing that states have talked about doing inside cars, and there's people out there that don't want anybody to know that they're going 100 miles an hour.
Okay, but remember, this is a passive device. You give it all the permission. It's not controlling your car. This is really more about you controlling your car. Yeah.
And there are third-party applications, but they're mostly for people that have a fleet of cars or something like that, you know, for business purposes, so that you can... But also, I can look at a trip and say that's business or not, and then that'll give me all my business mileage if I'm being reimbursed.
Now, that's very cool. It sounds like it has some real granular configuration, so you can dial it for specific purposes.
And you got the state of California employees.
Yeah.
Which is what I was. But I didn't have it then. That was 15 years ago. Yeah.
I think I looked at it.
I know you have a
few years ago when it first came out. And it's not available for diesels.
Oh, it's not?
Well, it wasn't when I looked at it. You couldn't get it.
A lot of trucking companies have this information.
The way I understand it is it's available. It supports that port.
Yeah.
So if you've got the port, it's supposed to...
When I looked at it...
Because it's a standard.
It seems to me it said something about it. You couldn't put it on my diesel.
Hey, did you see that there's an app for your iWatch? If you... Yeah, you can use your
iWatch.
Yeah, you can use your $2,000 watch to keep track, or the $10,000, or the
$17,000. My Timex that I bought about 25 years ago.
Question about soundbar that you were talking about. The problem I have is on the laptop trying to watch Netflix, I can barely hear it.
Right.
And I've been in and I've done all the settings of it.
Mm-hmm.
As good as I can get. A soundbar. How could I? Is there any way to make the computer sound louder? Is that the sound bar?
Well, yeah, the sound bar is like external speakers, and that's what you would need to do to your computer. It's just to add some external speakers.
Problem. You can barely hear the movie, so we bought a little. It clips to the top of the screen, plugs into the USB. and the speaker line, and then you got as much volume as you want. We bought it at Best Buy or something. You go into Walmart, you'll buy it.
Yeah.
What do you ask for?
Hold on. Is it a laptop that you're using?
Yes, because...
Okay. Does the laptop have Bluetooth? Because that's a real nice convenient feature. If it has Bluetooth, you can get these Bluetooth speakers. And so you don't need any cables. The only cable is to charge the battery in the speaker. They could be the size of this coffee cup, or they could be a big box, depending on what you're looking for.
If I go to Walmart and I ask for them to be able to...
Well, you'd probably connect it through an audio connector like this.
Yes. What do I ask for?
Well, you're looking for external
speakers.
That's what you're looking for. And a lot of people, like a lot of 20-somethings, would just refer to all of them as Bluetooth speakers. But a lot of the Bluetooth speakers are a package that allow you to hook this is called an analog connection. It allows you to connect an analog connection to them. So you might find yourself buying a Bluetooth speaker using an analog connection.
Sony told me they have from store here in town.
Yeah, they do. They have ones about the size of this coffee cup
really cool.
That are available right here in that little kiosk in the middle of Lay's when you first go in.
When you first walk in?
Yes. They got a couple of TV sets there. And
yes.
They've had these Bluetooth speakers there as well. They're flamboyant colors like purples and pinks and neon colors.
Maybe that'd be better for my TV.
Jan is expecting me. That's right. Today.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a Seagate drive.
A Seagate drive. Okay.
You recommended it.
I did not recommend Seagate, but go ahead.
No. You recommended
an external hard drive.
So I bought one. It worked fine for my old XP.
Okay.
So I went into Windows 7 then. And what do? I said, I want to get rid of everything that's saved on it. I don't need it for my XP. So I delete it. So it didn't work for 7. It doesn't work for 10. It knows it's connected, but it's useless.
It's not the drive. There's something about the system.
Yeah.
What it could be is it's having trouble associating a drive letter, which wouldn't be the drive's fault. It would be Windows' fault.
Okay.
And you'd have to go into... not device management. What's it called? Disk management.
Disk management.
And assign it a drive letter.
Okay.
And if you go into disk management, is it Windows 10 that you're trying to use it with? So on Windows 10, if you, with the right mouse button, click on the start button, it'll bring up a menu of all these different commands, and one of them is disk management.
Okay.
And then disk management will... list out the different devices in your system that are for storage. And there should be one there that doesn't have a drive letter on it. Actually, there's probably more than one. Here, I'll show you. Here's what mine looks like. This is disk management.
Okay.
And up here you're seeing the devices
mm-hmm.
logically. And down here you're seeing them physically. So even though it shows I've got a number of different disk drives, I actually only have one disk drive with these partitions.
Okay.
So each one of these makes up one of these.
Mm-hmm.
And then down below, here's another physical disk. It's a virtual disk, but for these purposes,
sure.
Let's call it a physical disk. So if I had hooked up an external hard drive, it would show up down here.
Mm-hmm.
And what it wouldn't have is it wouldn't have that letter, like that D right there for DVD.
Okay.
That D wouldn't exist in it. And so you'd click on this with the right mouse button and choose properties. And right there it says change drive letter.
Okay, change drive letter.
Right. And then that brings up this, and you're able to... select change. I'm doing this upside down and backwards. And you can choose what drive letter to assign to it.
Oh, okay.
After it's assigned, the next time you plug it in, it'll grab that drive letter, set itself up, and be ready to use.
So it'll be whatever I'm not using.
Disk management.
Okay. Yeah, this is a drop down. that starts with the next drive letter that's available.
Okay.
And that's what, in a perfect world, that's what Windows is supposed to do. You're supposed to plug in a new device. It's supposed to assign it a drive letter from whatever's free. For some reason, in this particular case, it's not doing
that. And that's exactly what it's not saying. It doesn't recognize it. So, okay. I get that down here.
If it doesn't appear in this list, then you got a different issue.
Okay.
If you don't see it sitting down here as one of your devices, then it could be that it's having trouble even being seen as a device, and in that case, it might be fried.
Well, it tells me that it's there. It says, and I think it says something, no drive assigned.
Well, with a external hard drive, you're actually working with two different pieces of technology. Mm-hmm. You've got the USB adapter that's built into the external drive, and then you've got the drive itself. And so that USB adapter that's built into the case of the external drive, that can fail, and then you don't have access to the drive.
Okay.
Or the drive can fail.
So if I have any more problems, I'm going to bring it over to you then.
Yeah, let's just test it on another computer and make sure that it's not something silly.
Well, that's
You're
good.
Welcome,
I have Megan. Another computer at home.
Yeah, see if it works on that.
Okay.
Yeah. Because most of the time you plug one in, it signs a drive letter, it's not a problem. But occasionally you'll run into this kind of problem, and that's the only resolution.
Okay.
So I have a repair job.
Perfect. Thank you.
You have a repair job.
It's brand new, but I got have to take it home or something. It's, I bought it here in Mexico.
Right.
When I turned it on, Google started up. They know I'm here in Mexico. So when I put on my hide my ass, and I download Netflix or Comcast cable, I can't get them. So I took it back out, back in, can't get them. So would you be able to figure out how to do that?
Well, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean.
Okay.
Thank you, Scott. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. See you,
Paul.
Yeah, I'm just curious why you wouldn't be having any luck with it. That's all.
I exhausted my resources.
Leave me with your Google sign-in information so that it's all associated correctly.
Okay, you know what? I forgot the plug, too, so I'll get that. Where should I drop it off?
Just at my office, yeah.
Over
it's Sony's place.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Where is it then? That's what I need to find out. All I need is a charger. I left my charger at home.
Oh, you're not going to find one through me. But you could find one through JG's computers.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah. Okay. And they've got universal ones hanging on the wall behind.
Mm-hmm.
There. But if they don't have one of those universals that'll work, they can order you one.
Sure.
So all you need is the password for signing that.
Yeah, your Gmail account. I basically need access to your Gmail account.
Okay. Got you.
I'll ask a question if you don't mind.
Okay.
Actually, Richard Marin told me to ask you.
Okay.
I was considering getting one of the card reader machines through the PayPal.
Oh, okay.
Now.
To take credit cards here in Mexico.
Right.
Okay.
Now, what they told me when I spoke to the PayPal guy, text support, they said, well, yeah, that's great, but the phone broke in Mexico.
It won't work in Mexico because of the facturación for taxes. That's why.
Tax issue.
Yeah, PayPal probably doesn't.
PayPal itself allows me to use. Charge through the PayPal account in Mexico.
Okay. And they keep track of the facturation and...
I have no idea.
And taxes?
Yeah. They don't. I don't know. But no. That's not an issue. I mean, I can use it through the PayPal.
Okay.
Just the PayPal account allows me to charge...
Right.
Cars through the PayPal accounts of the customers. So they can pay me...
I don't know why
PayPal
the swipe
account.
Wouldn't work then.
Well, but they said that they don't. I was wondering if you know why and if there is a way around it. Because the only other option is to use a local bank reader, and I really don't want to do that.
Right. Well, you could get a hold of one from a bank in the United States and bring it down here.
And it's going to...
It would all be happening in the States, though.
It will work in that way.
Yeah. I mean, you might have to do some screwy stuff, like you might need to hook it up to a VPN, or you might have to use it with a phone line, that, like a magic jack, depending on what kind of device you get. But in the end, that would technically work. I don't know whether you're breaking somebody's rules or not. But technically, it would work. Yeah. The PayPal, the only thing I could imagine is maybe it's about the chip and pin stuff.
It is getting connected to either. It doesn't work directly with the phone. What it does instead, it connects to your either cell phone.
Right.
Go to the tablet.
Yeah.
And then it goes through the internet and it gets that credit card charge on your PayPal account.
So maybe PayPal isn't allowing that to happen outside the United States.
Well, more likely, yes.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's what's going on.
Is there a way around it, or?
Well, again, if you were
getting the device itself, I mean, just theoretically.
Yeah,
the device itself. I mean, I don't want to spend $200 mm-hmm. on. Finding out that, well, there is no way around it.
Theoretically, if it's on the internet, then what you would need is a VPN to masquerade as though you're in the United States, and then it would work. And the only exception.
I'm glad they already thought about that.
Well, they can't. They probably there's probably some terms of service or some regulation that they're supposed to satisfy that doesn't allow them to pursue that with you, because that's thwarting that regulation. In the same, like using a VPN to mm-hmm. behave as though you're in the United States. That's the issue with Netflix, right? All these people are really concerned about watching their U.S. Netflix in Mexico.
No, I've heard that.
So what they do
I don't know if it's worth for me to come here another time because I couldn't care less.
Well, what they do, for example, is what they do
is
they.
By the way, all they talk about here.
No, not at all. Hey, we talk about all kinds of stuff. Okay. But to answer your question, if you'd let me answer your question, the way that they're able to do that is by using a VPN service. Are you familiar with that?
VPN is probably identifying your
VPN
provider.
Stands for virtual private network, and it sets up an encryption channel between you and some other location. Mm-hmm. All the internet that you do comes through that channel, thinking the other location is where you exist. That's the way they're able to get U.S. Netflix in Mexico, is Netflix thinks they're in the U.S. when they use a VPN. Mm-hmm. On the same token, any device that you're using across the VPN thinks you're in that location. Mm-hmm. So theoretically, it would work for your application. Now, the problem is you can't have a conversation with PayPal about that because you're probably breaking some kind of regulation. So they won't talk to you about that as a solution.
Yeah, of course. I'm not going to have
the same
to
way
that.
Netflix won't talk to you about using a VPN.
Of course. Of course. That's understood. But I really would like to use, the ability to charge the cards
mm-hmm.
rather than, but I don't really want to do it with local banks for various reasons.
Right.
I can get it. I mean, it's not expensive. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to.
Yeah. Well, technically, there are ways to do it. If in the end, the only way you're able to do it is with a U.S.-based thing, where you can purport to be a U.S.-based thing using different schemes. Like if you get a credit card reader that works across the phone line, well, you could get a magic jack that gives you a U.S. phone number.
You have to order it being in the U.S.
Yes.
Because the way they did it, you cannot order the device on the phone.
Right.
And they do have actually a magic jack line, so that's not a problem.
Well, assuming that's the way the technology you finally decide on uses a phone line.
No, but the thing is that what they say is that, no, it's not a phone line, I think, because it's
I guess
to the,
I'm trying to talk in general terms. You
right.
have an array of options. Some of them use phone lines. Some of them
right.
use internet.
All
of those.
I should ask you a different question.
Okay.
well, related to this, but it's somewhat different.
All right.
Which is the way you have to order that card reader is that you have to download the application first.
Okay.
And then the application orders the card reader for you.
Oh, okay.
So the application will definitely know if I'm talking from here and I'm trying to order it from here.
Not necessarily.
Unless I already installed the VPN before, I go to the...
Sure, or you go to somebody's VPN and get connected to their hotspot and do it from there.
Okay. I've never used a VPN. Is it easy to handle and install?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure of your skill level. It's hard for me to say whether it's easy or not. But these folks all use VPNs.
Well, then I have to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. When they have problems, they give me a call. If you have a problem, give me a call.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. What was your name?
Andrew.
Andrew. Nice to meet you, Andrew. I'm Scott.
Nice to meet you.
Well, this has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson, and this whole table has emptied. I'm sitting here with myself, my dad, and my friend Sid. And Andrew, who's just asked the last question. We meet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15 and try and solve the world tech problems, or at least the problems that exist for us, retired and living in Mexico. You can find out more information about us at our website at sccclub.org. And if you're in San Carlos or any place in the world looking for expert computer help, give me a call. You can find me through internationalcs.net or call my office at 226-0209. Recordings like this can be found in iTunes if you search for the San Carlos Computer Club. I guess that's all we've got for today. Tech on, and I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.